Welcome to Trippy Politics Protests and
Potpourri.
I'm your host, Corey Elia, and as always, my co-host,
Leslie McLam.
KBOO Portland.
The Trippy co-hosts sit down with Justin Yao, an independent journalist who's been covering the protests since the end of May.
I'm a freelance photographer slash videographer, although I like to focus more on writing. I have two bylines, the LA Times as well as the Willamette Weekly. I've been following the Portland protests since the first Monday. So it is my 86th day today as of the recording.
And this is this has been going on for a long time.
88 days. 88 days, yep.
How tiring is it to even think of that number?
Yeah, for me, the first 2 weeks were terrible, and then we had a lull, and then I said to myself, well, it's only been 25 days, you know, there's no real legislative change yet. I said, how can people lose this momentum? And boom, on July 3rd, July 4th, the feds came out and kind of, like, threw this into, like, overdrive, into, like, a next level of unprecedented, you know, riots, and, no, not riots, but, like, of kinetic confrontation with the police at the city center in a way that we haven't seen, as well as, like, radicalizing a lot of people in the Portland area, around the Portland area, in Scappoose. I've seen people from Calacamas, Scappoose, Sandy, Corvallis come down here to show support for the movement. And I think a lot of that is to do with police error, right? I think what gives momentum to a movement that is essentially fighting police brutality, racist, systematic police brutality. And the authorities respond with more police brutality. It's inevitable that you would radicalize a lot of people to come out. You have, you know, videos of entire city blocks in an American city filled with tear gas, with men in gas masks looking like Darth Vader with assault weapons, you know, like select fire M4s, making street arrests from unmarked vehicles. So, I mean,
is this is it similar to other protests that you have covered before? Does this remind you?
Of Hong Kong, I'd say. And I'd never think that this would happen here, that level of police. You know, like, police suppressing protests in any way is the government trying to do a political thing via violence. And it's ultimately, if successful, a very short-term solution. To create political change and to solve a political problem, you do it by political means. Whether it be, you know, through legislation, passing new laws, and there is a list of demands. So, you know, stopping qualified immunity for police, stopping no-knock raids, defunding the police, not so much as just taking all the money away, but putting money away from them buying armored vehicles,
like the military equipment.
Exactly. Military equipment and putting it to training with social workers that teaches them how to deal with people who have permanent psychosis from drug use, people who have mental health crises, homeless folks, you know, who've lived that life. And I think there needs to be that training. There police need to have that knowledge to approach, you know, a daily encounter and be able to de-escalate that without use of firearms.
So as far as encounters that need de-escalating without the use of firearms, on Saturday, a couple days ago, here in August, we had the Back the Blue, I believe it was called, Back the Blue rally that was held to support the police downtown, mm-hmm. And there were people out there with firearms. You were down there, right?
I was. I saw well, the famous photo that's now viral of Alan Sweeney brandishing a single action revolver, but aside
that look,
from that,
looked antique.
Yeah, that looked antique. I think it was for show, but I did see a lot of people, multiple people with loaded mags in the well, AR-15s, bolt forwards, and then I of course saw the encounter in the second story of the parking garage where. I think more than one, I saw one, but I'm pretty sure there was more than one person, pull concealed handguns while trying to, you know, into their vehicles.
I saw some footage from the parking garage. I wasn't in there, but some of that footage was them walking around telling people in their group to grab their guns and grab their firearms.
Yeah, there were several calls for that throughout the day.
Is that something you normally even have to think about when you're coming to cover protests?
I was expecting them to come armed, but that flagrantly violating Multnomah County codes, like walking around with mags and assault rifles, to my knowledge, is illegal.
As far as I know, you have to have a concealed carry permit in order to open carry in Oregon. That's my understanding. And so there's no way to know if someone has a permit or not when they just sort of pull a gun out on the street at a rally or something.
So Oregon is an open carry state, but in the county of Multnomah, you cannot open carry a weapon with a magazine loaded in it.
Okay.
Now whether or not the magazine was loaded with ammunition, we can debate that. But they chose to have it loaded with a magazine inside. So I think very comfortably say that was a loaded rifle.
It was likely a loaded magazine,
exactly.
In your opinion.
So out of curiosity, from Saturday, what was like the most intense situation in that you'd seen? Like maybe a specific bite, or when they were retreating back to the garage? What do you think was the most intense in your opinion?
I think it was the fireworks being thrown. You know, like a lot of right-wing pundits and news outlets have said that Antifa throws explosives and whatnot. And it's very funny to see the right-wing people who are supposedly pro-law and order, pro-police, waving the thin blue line flag, violate those very laws in the very same way. Right? I mean, there's a level of hypocrisy in that. And I saw the most intense part, to answer your question, was I saw an explosive firework, be thrown from the right to the left, from the right wingers to the BLM protesters. And I saw the person try to pick it up and throw it back, and the firework exploded in his hand. And that was insane. I got video of that. His hands were shaking. He had pretty heavy-duty welder's gloves for that reason, I think, was to pick up canisters and such. But that was the most intense thing.
How damaged were his gloves from that?
Oh, it was a split second. I saw his hands shaking as his buddies pulled him back behind the shield line. And that was like a brief kind of, snippet in time. And then it kept going on, and that was when they were being chased away.
So the guns and the fireworks are one element. I know I saw a lot of bear mace, which is extremely strong, being used. Mm-hmm. I actually saw that covering the area, wafting almost halfway into the park and getting people that were nowhere near the shield line where the confrontation was occurring. And I saw it drift back and get even the cohorts in the Patriot crowd that were spraying it. They ended up spraying their own side as it wafted through. I mean,
so a lot of them didn't have like gas masks. They had face coverings. Some of them had respirators. Most of them only had face coverings, like bandanas, like was the Make America Great masks and the American flag bandanas. And they didn't think it's like really apparent these guys have not been doing this very long, as long as, you know, in terms of street direct action, political direct action protests. They don't have the experience that the BLM protesters have, who've been doing this for 85 days at the time, right?
Right.
And that showed in their lands collapsing, them spraying themselves with mace. A lot of them didn't have masks on as if to make a political statement about COVID. Very funny, you know? And that, they, that's, that, you know.
It just didn't even work in their favor, some of their preparations.
It seemed like they did go into planning a lot of this, how they were going to carry everything out. They had, like, matching shields with matching slogans on the shield painted all nice. But yeah, it showed that they had less experience, unfortunately.
Did you see them when they attacked the snack van? Because that's also something that I have been reading from people on the conservative or the GOP Trump side, that they are denouncing some of the property destruction and vandalism that has occurred during the late night protest demonstrations that have been occurring downtown. And when I was there and I saw that, you know, the same group of patriots of Back the Blue were actually causing intentional, willful property destruction and damage.
Right.
And it was, to me, very surprising for them to see them do that after stating that that was something that they were there to prevent others from doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, I don't agree with damaging someone's property that they paid with for their own money, especially if it was a van whose the owner's sole purpose is to provide food and water to people that he doesn't even know as a continuous act of charity. For the right wing protesters to attack that day was very telling of their motives. One, telling us that to some level they're hypocrites. They're complaining about damage of private property and then damaging private property, and even more, they're damaging the private property and the means of someone who's trying to do charity out of the goodness of his heart. You know, by giving food to homeless people, giving food and water to protesters. So, and not only that, but there were journalists photographing and filming from the top of that van who were in danger of being pushed over and falling over from them pushing the van and damaging the van. So, you know.
Well, I mean, they actually attacked Robert Evans. We spoke to him.
Yep, assaulting the press was another thing.
The day after that happened.
So to say that they're here for law and order is out the door now, right? The cat's out of the bag. They're not here for law and order. They're here for an emotional reason to do violence upon people they don't agree with, ultimately. They're here to, quote-unquote, right, like, oh, you know, be commies, right? They even say that in their chants, oh, all commies are bastards, you know, whatever. Pinochet did nothing wrong. They came here with the animosity and the preparation to do violence. So to for them to say that they're here for law and order is absolute. I think it's intellectually dishonest.
So what are your thoughts, you know, after all of that and seeing how their Back the Blue rally went, and you take into consideration that neither the Portland Police Bureau decided to make a presence until the LRAD came out and told everyone assembled that was there after Back the Blue had left, is when the LRAD came out and told everyone that Federal Protective Service declared an unlawful assembly. But while the right-wing demonstrators pro-Trump were around, brandishing weapons and macing people, everything that you've described, the fact that the police did not make a presence, the fact that the federal agents did not make a presence, and we know that they were on tops of the rooftops. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of surveillance, both new and newly installed, and mm-hmm. previous surveillance equipment at multiple levels of the buildings around the park, including the video that is right in front of the Justice Center, that camera that was installed. We've seen in other news reports that camera has an operator, and it can move to follow the crowd in real time.
Right.
So what are your impressions on the response or lack of response from these agencies while all of that is occurring?
So I don't think that the federal police has made a statement yet, but based on the statement made by Portland police, they did openly admit that the engagement on Saturday between the two sides did qualify their parameter of what a riot is. So to them, it was a riot in every sense of the word. And if it means that it's a riot, then they must believe that there's grave danger to human life
and property.
So they chose to ignore that and quote-unquote said they did not have enough resources, right? That was one. And that they did not have... What is it? They said both sides seemed willing to engage in combat. Right? So I didn't think that was a legitimate reason to not intervene.
So with them choosing, saying that it fit the definition of a riot, but intentionally making a choice to not make a police presence during what they acknowledge is a riot, how do you think that squares up with the way that they're handling the anti-police protesters who, the moment a riot is called, the police send out officers to disperse everyone from the area?
Right. So I'm not an expert in quashing protests and riots, but I think there is a double standard in how the right wing rally on Saturday was treated versus the anti-police rally that happened the very night where they did declare a riot. I think one was absolutely violent, where human life was endangered. There were multiple injuries, some of them very bad. I've seen injured journalists with broken bones leave the scene, blood all over their hands. And then that night, I saw a protest that was declared a riot and was dispersed by the Portland police that didn't have even close to the same level of violence and potential for loss of life and human injury.
So this isn't really a question. This is kind of me sharing how I met Justin here. It was actually after my first assault by Portland police, as I was laying on the ground, crumpled up in a tangled up with my bike, I believe it was. You actually came up and swooped me up while I was choking on gas and getting kicked on by officers. Pulled me apart from my bike and actually helped me get down the street and get to safety and get myself.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Now I'm all embarrassed. I mean, like, like Corey described when I first met him, that the police were not rendering him aid. He was clearly too injured, you know, too distressed to leave the tear gas affected area that night, and police let that happen. And I think if myself or anyone who didn't want to help was there could have been long lasting injuries to, like, lung injuries, right? Damage to lungs. So,
right, there's still being studies done on the effects of tear gas.
Right. So, you know, it's unfortunate that we're in this current state. You know, that during these dispersal actions, police still don't have the resources or the know-how, or maybe even to some extent the willingness to provide aid to injured peoples. That protesters need to have volunteer, you know, healthcare professionals like nurses, like EMTs, who volunteer their free time. Thank God for these people who volunteer their time and their aid.
Truly a first responder.
Right. You know, that we could crowdsource this, then that the community has come together to answer this call. So I find that very heartwarming. And at the same time, I am also very disappointed at the incident that Corey previously described, and incidents like that I've seen happen every day now in the past 80 days.
And I just want to show my respect for you, because you said you've been out here 86 out of the 88 days or something like that?
Oh, I started coming out 86 days ago, but I have been taking, like, one day off every 10 days or one day off a week.
Okay, because, yeah, myself and Robert Evans, we've probably both been there about 50, 60 days, and we're both exhausted, and it sounds like you've been out there more than us, and mad props to you, brother.
Thank you, friend. And, yeah, it's, I think, another reason I go out there is the community of it. I think there's journalists. We take care of each other. We've become friends through this. And I think I treasure that friendship a lot. And I would look out for every one of you guys.
I know I would, too.
Yeah, same.
Thank you so much.
I want to give people the opportunity to look up some of the work that you've done. Maybe, you know, all the places and protests you've covered. You want to give people some links, information, so that they can find you on the internet.
My Twitter would be the best, at @pdocutarians, pdocumentarians. And then I think there it's my most up-to-date work, and you'll probably find link to my bylines as well.
Awesome.
Thank you for your time.
Pdocumentarians, thank you.
Thank you.
KBOO Portland.